Thank you very much for the introduction. I'm very pleased to be here today, and especially giving a talk together with Jan. So we've been knowing each other quite for a while, but our export to Canada wasn't arranged, so it was a pure occasion. So I have quite an ambitious amount of material to squeeze into the remaining time slot, but I'll try to do my best. So my talk is devoted to basically one single application, but which is quite important one. It's image registration for image-guided radiation therapy. So in my talk, I'll give a short introduction about radiation therapy. I've already seen there have been a couple of talks about radiation therapy within the seminar, so I hope not to repeat too much stuff. And then I will go to technological demands in image-guided radiation therapy, and I hope it will be clear why image registration is so important in image-guided radiation therapy. And also try to integrate our past and present research into the presentation. So there's some overview on the methods we've been working with, and illustrated by some clinical examples. So again, why radiation therapy is so important is because the cancer is second leading cause of death in the developed world. So basically every second man has a chance to develop cancer in his life, and every third woman. So there are significant advances recently in early detection diagnosis, but the choice for the therapy remains the same. Basically, there are four options or a combination of those, and radiotherapy is applied in more than half of all cancer cases. So again, what is radiation therapy? It's the use of high energy particles to destroy cancer. So it can be applied in radical or curative setting or a palliative setting. So it can be external beams, so radiation is delivered from outside, or internal delivery like radioactive seeds. And it has some unpleasant side effects which we would like to avoid. So there's a bunch of indications for radiotherapy, and so I'll probably go to the next slide. So again, the main goal of external beam radiotherapy is by delivering radiation outside to hit the target as precisely as possible and to maximally spare the surrounding healthy tissue. So this illustrates a little bit the evolution of external beam radiotherapy over time. So basically, the doctor started with 2D planning where on X-rays. This X-ray is simulated just from a modern 3D system. But you can see there is no good visibility of the target and soft tissue. So when these CT scanners appeared, so the doctors were able to reconstruct 3D images of the patient and accurately define the target. With 3D conformal planning, the beam shape can be optimized to fit the target. And the latest word in radiation therapy is intensity modulated RT, where the beam intensity can be modulated to accommodate for concave, for example, shapes, or very complex shapes. And together with multi-leaf collimator, this is the latest word in radiation cancer treatment. So what are the problems now? With the IMRT, there was a significant improvement in delivery. So basically, we know how to hit the target, but we don't know where the target is due to different reasons. For example, it can be setup uncertainty, and can be changes over the fractionated in the anatomy over the fractionated treatment, which is typically 30 days, for example. And also different people respond differently. So all these gives us the total uncertainty which we would like to compensate. So in order to illustrate how the anatomy changes over the course of treatment, this is a multi-fraction CT data set of prostate. So you can see there's quite a few changes. So, and in the traditional setting, the planning is done on one single CT prior to the whole treatment. So it means that we will be damaging healthy tissue in this case. So, this is where IGRT or image-guided radiotherapy comes to play. So the idea is to introduce multiple imaging of the patient during the treatment course in order to be able to adjust the treatment parameters, the treatment plan, as early as possible when there are indications for that. So it involves multi-model imaging of the patient. With it can be MRI, it can be CT, or it can be onboard cone beam CT. So it's, this is the device. So prior to each fraction, cone beam CT image can be taken and monitored. So these are all technological demands in IGRT. So one important part of the radiation treatment planning is contouring of risk structures. With IGRT, the amount of images the doctors have to deal with increases significantly. So there is a high demand for automated segmentation, auto-contouring. So the contours can ideally, we would like to propagate the delineations to all fractions in order to track the changes on a voxel basis in order to be able to compute the real cumulative dose distribution in the particular area in order to see whether the target receives the dose we planned or so something needs to be changed in the plan. And as you can see, so deformal image registration or non-rigid image registration is the key to all these tasks. That's why image registration is so important, and probably every imaging company has been doing research on image registration. In my talk, I would like to review a bit the three groups or classes of image, deformal image registration methods. There is a lot of classification schemes, but I will distinguish between voxel-based methods, which perform direct comparison of image content, model-based, so we can use models, anatomical structures to derive correspondences, and feature-based, we can automatically or semi-automatically extract the corresponding image features. So coming to the voxel-based approach, so the non-parametric approach has been just covered by Jan in his talk. So here we find a transformation applied to each volume element by maximizing similarity measure between the template and reference image. So I would like to say some words about parametric case, and I hope to show that some rudimentary physics-based parametric method can be introduced. So here we have a limited number of parameters where we look for the optimal values which maximize the similarity measure. One particular method I would like to discuss in more detail is based on elasticity, linear elasticity. And here, this is 1D case, basically that illustrates the Hooke's law, linear stress and strain relationship. So if we pull elastic rod here, in this, we can compute the displacement, which is proportional to the force applied. And you can see there are also two parameters. One is the so-called Poisson's ratio, which measures material compressibility. The second one is Young modulus, which measures material stiffness. And so this would all these parameters influence the appearance of the deformation field. For example, in this slide, you see how different the deformation is with respect to different values of Poisson's ratio. But generally, 3D elasticity is nonlinear, and in equilibrium condition, we have a nonlinear differential operator and nonlinear stress relationship. So I wouldn't go into many details of that, but in order to be able to handle this problem, we need a kind of linearization. And the most straightforward linearization is the Taylor expansion around the origin. And the term on the right-hand side, if we write down all the terms, will be exactly the well-known Navier-Lemay equation. This equation corresponds exactly to the elastic potential discussed by Jan in his talk. And here I would like to introduce some analytical solutions for the Navier-Lemay equation and show how they can be used in image registration. So some words about the applied forces, which appear here on the right-hand side. In image registration, there is no real physical interpretation. We don't know with what kind of forces we're dealing with. So they can be derived explicitly from the similarity measure. This would introduce kind of an analog to physical forces. But also, we can derive them through imposing geometric boundary conditions. It means that the boundary condition would force certain points to go to have certain displacement, and this would correspond to a force which we can recover from this boundary condition. How to approach the Navier-Lemay equation to derive analytical solutions? First of all, they are known only for certain types of external forces, and there are two principal methods to deal with this equation. One method is so-called Galerkin vector method, and second is direct solution. So the results are both identical if you apply these both methods. The first type of the expletive or the analytical solution is the fundamental solution of linear elasticity or the so-called Green function. So the interesting thing about it that it's not radially symmetric, as you can see here, and it has a singularity at the origin. This is connected to the well-known method of fundamental solution, which is a meshless method to deal with differential equations. So basically, what we have here is we would like to apply the point forces somewhere here to get certain displacement on the boundary of the image. Why do we need this imaginary boundary here? Is that because of the singularity at the origin. And the displacement field is computed in this case as a linear combination of fundamental solutions, where the unknowns are the force. If we know the force, we can get the displacement at any point. So one step further would be to regularize the force and introduce a Gaussian shape force and derive this rather complex solution of the Namier-Lamé equation. But the good thing about solution is it's not singular at the origin anymore, and we don't need this imaginary boundary. Now, when we know how the displacement would look like if we apply Gaussian shape force, we can formulate a registration task in the way that we would like to apply a number of Gaussian shape forces distributed over the image domain to maximize the similarity measure. So the question is how to determine the optimal forces. So the answer is by optimization, where our parameter vector is here the position of the force strength, the associated scale in the form of Gaussian sigma, and we can also optimize the Poisson's ratio. Why not? If we use SSD, sum of squared differences similarity measure, we can derive explicit expressions for the derivatives by differentiating the similarity measure with respect to the parameters. So one thing here which is kind of important is that it makes sense to couple the force strength with the scale, because if forces acting on a small scale, there is a good chance you'll be violating the topology. So in this case, so we propose to couple the scale with the force strength. It means that when the force gets larger, so the scale will be increased automatically. Again, one very important thing is the condition of image content invariance, and I would repeat this during my talk several times, because if we have a image and we can apply some non-linear transformation to this image to get something like this, so it doesn't matter, really matter, how the transformation field would look like, we still will be able to recover this transformation, for example, by applying this Gaussian force approach rather precisely. So the image on the right was not derived by this, it was derived, I think, by a different transformation field, but we still can recover this transformation. So so as you see, we've also worked on the same images. So it's here's a 3D knee data set, and I would like to register these two images with the same approach. So this is the result, and again, the difference image, which is probably the only way of visualizing 3D images, is just present 2D projections of 2D slices with difference images. So after the registration, it will look like this. Again, we're despite the large deformation, rather large deformation, the deformation happens on is a short-term deformation. It means that not many changes with gray values really going on. And here to demonstrate the application, why I would like to do that, this is the original MRI sequence of a kinematic knee imaging, and what we can do when we know the deformation field, we can stabilize one particular joint and get this kind of picture where the femur bone is fixed. This is a quite exciting application for orthopedists. Okay, now back to radiation therapy. As you can see, even these are images of the same patient. There is already some violation of this image content environment invariance introduced by the bowel gas here. And if we apply registration based on direct comparison of the image content, like sum of squared difference, what we can get is a kind of a nice looking result in every area except this, because we don't really know what to do with this area, right? Because there are no corresponding gray values. So again, this is difference image. This is all 3D images again. And so again, the sum of squared difference is really tries to globally optimize the similarity. But again, to deal with this particular area, we need something, some specialized solution. What happens if we need to register different patients? One application is really straightforward. For example, we would have we would like to contour this patient if we would know all the delineations would be available for the second patient. But as you can see here, the setup, the appearance, the field of view, all is quite different. It means that the registration in this case will be quite challenging. So how can we deal with this situation? One rather straightforward thing is would be to have a large database of all possible clinical cases and pick up a case which would look similar, more similar cases from this database. And I would really argue that registering these two images would be easier than these two. Or alternatively, we can create a kind of average patient atlas, and it's probably also be more robust than just registering two arbitrary cases. But going even further, what if we need to register this kind of data? Again, in radiation therapy, very important are fine details. To give an example is that even the contours can be close to the real ones, but then the oncologist still needs to touch every slice and to correct every slice. It means that the benefits in terms of workflow improvement is quite questionable in this case. So it means that really high precision is required. And although some efficient rigid registration and also non-rigid registration methods are available now, which would deal with multiple modalities or multimodality imaging, the big question mark is how robust they are in this particular application. What kind of precision would they deliver for us? So this is all kind of problems with have in radiation therapy. And to give you a brief summary of voxel-based registration, the huge advantage for this application is that it's fully automated and supervised approach. So basically you hit the button and you get the result. The question is how good the result is. So generally the method voxel-based registration computationally expensive because you have a large amount of voxels to deal with, in 3D especially. And very important in this context is that the images should be as similar as possible, because every image content invariance violation would negatively influence the result. Okay, now I'm coming to second group of methods, which I call model-based. And they are based on explicit correspondences derived from anatomical organs. So the general approach would look like that we have an image where we would segment automatically or semi-automatically. It depends on the availability of the corresponding methods. Certain anatomical structures. Then we would derive the correspondences. Explicit geometric correspondences between the boundaries of the anatomical structures. And by interpolation, we'll be able to recover the whole deformation, volumetric deformation field, and use it in assessment of motion. So there was a shape constraint deformer model method developed at Philips when I was in Hamburg, which operates in the following way. First, it creates a 3D model from manually delineated training image database. So here, this is PCA analysis shown for the femur. There's just one principal mode of variation shown. And then this image is applied to an unseen image, and by automated adaptation, it gets the result, the delineation results for the unseen image. How does it work? It works as a two-step procedure. The models are represented as triangular meshes, where we perform a feature search along each triangle normal to get the most promising candidate based on some heuristics, but mainly it corresponds to the strongest edge along the search direction, which would correspond to our heuristics. And after that, after each triangle center has found a good candidate, we can reconfigure the mesh by energy minimization, which is quadratic. Basically, it penalizes, it attracts the triangle center to the candidate points and penalizes deviations in the shape. So it's kind of similar approach as in the registration, because we don't want the model to explode and something weird happening to the model. Again, how can we use it in the context of registration? We just apply the same generic model to the two images. Then we can reduce mesh vertices by discarding vertices within a minimum radius. This is done to increase the efficiency, because typical mesh consists of several thousand vertices. So we'd like to have maybe like to reduce the amount of variables we need to deal with, at least by order. And then we readily have the correspondences. This will just be the points with the same index in the mesh. How we transform the image? We can apply several spline-based interpolation schemes. So, for example, well-known simplet splines or elastic body splines, which this can be this Gaussian solution I presented a couple of minutes ago. So basically what they will give similar results. So the only difference here is this function is not radially symmetric and also includes the elastic parameter. Here's an illustration of this method. So in this lever case, the green contours correspond to the structures that were delineated. And if we apply the method, this is the result. The red structures were not delineated, they were just propagated. And you will see that the vessel bifurcation appears exactly the same spot here. This is quite important. Again, summary on model-based registration. So here we have a closed form solution. So when we have the delineation, the correspondences, we can operate on interactive speed. Especially, we don't need to reformat. For example, we want to assess the deformation result. We don't need to reformat the whole image. We just only reformat the visible slice. And this gives us interactive speed for assessment of the result. But this is not exactly what we want, Ideally, we would like to apply the transformation to dose grid. But the good thing for us is that the dose grid has a much lower dimensionality compared to the image. So it is fast. So the outcome can be controlled. So it means that we really guarantee that the surfaces correspond. But again, it's always the price we need to pay. And this price here in this particular case is the need for interactive data pre-processing, say segmentation. Okay, I can slow down a bit. I can see I still have time. So the third class of methods I would like to discuss today is feature-based. And they are based on explicit correspondences derived from the images. But as Jan has already mentioned, that the directly clicking landmarks in 3D is not feasible. So just it's simply not feasible. So we need to think about more intelligent ways of finding specific image landmarks. So the feature-based approach would correspond to these three steps. First, we would create a compressed patient or atlas. It depends on the application model in the form of salient image features or landmarks. What does saliency mean in this sense? Saliency means that the point can be really distinguished from the surrounding, compared to its neighborhood. Just particular example would be some corner or blob, right? So, but not point and homogeneous background because it's ambiguous. Then we can try to recover this model in unseen data and derive volumetric transformation based on the corresponding features. So how can we address the interest point detection? So this is our recent work here is an extension of a well-known 2D SIFT approach to 3D. So the SIFT stands for Scale Invariant Feature Transform, and it detects blob-like structures in scale space as peaks in the DOG, difference of Gaussian images. So good thing about SIFT is that with every point, we have an associated descriptor, which is kind of watermark for this point. And what we can do, we can use this descriptor for matching. It means that if we apply SIFT to two images, and then we can simply find for every point the nearest neighbor in the second image and vice versa. And in this way, we can find the corresponding landmarks. If we know this is the same patient, then and the setup errors are not large. For example, the head neck area where immobilization device is typically used in radiation treatment, then we can use as a cheap alternative simple block matching. It means that we have this reduced model in terms of set of points, and we just simply look for a maximum in, for example, using correlation in a certain neighborhood around every point. Right? And in this way, we can derive correspondence. Here's one example. I hope, the points are too small, unfortunately, but I hope you can see something. There are two images. One, the image on the left is a planning city image. The image on the right is a cone beam image acquired at the time of treatment. What we like to do is to assess the amount of deformation in the patient. Here, the green points correspond to automatically extracted landmarks by SIFT. And red points are the corresponding points in the cone beam, which are automatically found by block matching. There are several hundred points which could be matched for this particular case, and this is more than enough to transform or propagate the delineation from one image to the next image. And yeah, this unfortunately, the color is not good here. But you can see the amount of change in anatomy which took place for this patient here in the parotid area. This boundary corresponds to the delineation just copied from the planning CT. And here we can see that non-rigid transformations derived from the corresponding points could account for this anatomy change caused in this particular case by weight loss. And these contours were propagated by using simplex lines. One particular difficulty with SIFT is that it is very difficult to find the corresponding points in multiple, in a large database of patients. Apparently, our conclusion was that the local description of point neighborhood is not sufficient to reproducibly find the same anatomical spot in every patient. However, the doctors really know how they look like, and they consider them as really or truly anatomically invariant. It means they should be present in every patient. What can we do in this case? We can learn the feature availability from manually annotated training data. Here we need to do this cumbersome landmark clicking in, let's say, 10 to 20, 30 data sets. The more the better. But our goal is to recover this model in unseen data. So how do we do this? First of all, we create an atlas of anatomical variability of certain points where we know they should exist in every patient. And we do this by principal component analysis. And also we register all training images to create a gray value variability atlas. This can be a simple average data set, or if we want to do a more intelligent job, we can apply in a kind of appearance modeling on the patches. And how can we recover this model in unseen data? Then, in this particular case, we know that our transformation space is constrained by PCA and plus some rigid and scaled transform. So we can set a kind of bounding box for the transformation space and perform the matching within the transformation space by, for example, using stochastic optimization like differential elution, where we don't need the derivatives. And this can be done really quickly. For example, 30 points, rather good match can be achieved within 1 minute, so under 1 minute, maybe 20, 30 seconds. And again, so it's still visible. This is the result. So you can see that the match is not perfect. The red points are the ground truth points. The green points are, these are all the projections. This is not the true position in 3D. I think the only one is here, and maybe here. But again, first of all, one thing which you have not investigated yet is what is the real variability if several doctors would click the same landmark or several people? Will it be still in this range? So this needs to be investigated. But we know that this method has a limitation because the transformation space is constrained. It means that for one particular case, which is far outside the training set, right? So we would probably get not very good results. But there is one very useful setting or useful application where I can use this kind of approach is just to propagate the deformal atlas based on 3D models to new patient. And then we can perform automated, semi-automated, all kind of segmentation approaches to get to the desired result. It means here, in this image, what you can see is the red dots correspond to the position of the landmark plus this kind of variability area defined by principal components. So we truncated the atlas, let's say, to 10 principal variability modes, eigenmodes, and weighted each mode by one standard deviation. This is kind of the variability area by one standard deviation for 10 principal eigenmodes. And by using this information, we were able to get pretty good results in this patient, which is probably close enough to the atlas we created. And then we have a set of 3D models. It's again 2D projection of 3D models associated with or defined in the atlas space, which we can transport to the new patient by using these correspondences. Again, this will not be perfect, but our deformal models have certain capture range. It means that local search can still be performed with an area with, let's say, within 1 centimeter. And for most of our training or test data sets, we get an average error in the landmark identification is under 1 centimeter, it's mostly 8 millimeters, so just average. So this approach is basically aimed at finding approximate position of some stable features by learning. So again, in summary, it's a robust approach because we really constrain the transformation space by what we can observe in the training data. So again, we have to pay a certain price, so we need to really good coverage of the whole field of view in order to avoid some misregistration due to not providing sufficient information, right? This is classical interpolation approach. And again, automated detection of stable correspondences is difficult in interpatient studies, so we're still investigating alternative ways of finding interest points. Because this was our first try, and it proved to be very useful for the same patient case, but we need more work to approach interpatient studies. Okay, so now I'm summarizing the results. So as I already mentioned, deformal registration is a key component for successful implementation of IGRT, and the problem is still far to, of being solved. Although some commercially available solutions already exist based on deformal registration. So here in this particular application, I just say that robust similarity definition is very important. It's even probably more important than the choice of the deformation field. That would be more if you provide enough information. It means that you can use any deformation field. Maybe some of them will be better, some worse, but again, this all needs to be validated. But the particular difficulty is a change in anatomy in this setting. So this is the first item here, that the condition for image content invariance is often violated. And again, every method that we investigate and develop, we need to think about its integration to clinical workflow. It means it needs to be fast as possible, and reproducible, accurate, precise, etc. Okay, so these are the acknowledgments from Princess Margaret Hospital, Philips Research Europe, and Philips USA. Okay, thank you very much.